while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church. So welcome again to the first Youth Takeover service of 2025. Throughout this Youth Takeover service, throughout the Youth Takeover services, we're going to be working through a four-part sermon series called Spiritual Realities. And in this series, we hope to explore the matters of the spirit realm, just the spirit in general, and everything in between. And as you'll have heard earlier, today's sermons are titled Spiritual Realities, A New Life. So when I was reflecting on the synopsis of today's sermon, I started thinking about times in my life where I'd noticed sort of the works of God's Spirit appear, you know, separate from the world, when I've noticed them kind of distinctly. And for me personally, I've found them most noticeable when I've gotten to understand people in my life a bit better. Now, I've considered myself fortunate in that there are many examples of this in my life, many of which are in the room right now. But one example I want to share today is of one of my close friends and brother in Christ, Anthony. So I remember when I first met this guy in my first year of university at an event I was attending. Through various circumstances, we ended up in the same friendship group. And one thing I noticed, began to notice about him as we built up a friendship was that I noticed a certain wisdom about him that seemed quite distinct from everybody around him. He seemed to always have good advice through a number of issues that, through a number of issues that popped out. I noticed that he had this sort of almost unique ability to reserve conflict between people that we were friends with. Just something that he was just unusually good at. And he was also really good at handling and advising sensitive interpersonal situations. I noticed all of these things, but I never really asked him about it. I never really poked too much further into it. I just kind of noticed, seems like a stand-up guy. Over the next year, we continued being friends. And then one day he invites me to attend a Bible study that he was running. A few of my other friends were attending, so I figured I'd turn up. This was a great experience for me for many reasons. I was now regularly studying the Word of God with my friends, and it was a much needed kick for me to get me back into regularly reading the Word of God independently. But one thing I did take away from it was it helped me understand Anthony a lot more. Occasionally he'd mention a scripture in passing that almost directly explained some of his actions in a previous moment. A decision he made might be, tied directly into something Solomon had spoken about in Proverbs. His kind and caring nature drew parallels to how, Jesus taught us to love others. And my main takeaway, from that was that, from studying the Word of God more, I better understood that what separated Anthony from people around him, in my eyes, was that how his actions were aligned with God's way and not with the world's way. It's almost as if, his actions were very well aligned with what I had now read in the Bible. And this is how I can best illustrate what I think it means to be, what I think being born again, being separate from the world can look like. So I'd like to, dig a bit deeper into what I think being born again truly means now. So what does it truly mean? I hope most people understand that phrase to vaguely mean that we are living a more Christian life. But I want to focus on what the Bible actually has to say about this. Recently we just read the main scripture, but I'd like to kind of expand that a bit, and I'd like us to read 2 Corinthians 5, verses 11 to 17, because I think that this verse sheds some light on what being born again means and how it can manifest in people's lives. I'll be reading 2 Corinthians 5, verses 11 to 17, and I'll be reading from the NIV. I know we heard that in NLT earlier. So this reads, "Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend others to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. So let's go through this now. I just thought, when I read this, I thought it quite nicely summarized what I was thinking about when I was thinking about, what being born again means and what it means to be separate from the world. And so I'm just going to pick out a few points that I thought this scripture sort of nicely sort of explained and kind of tied that into some other things. So what it can mean is, what being born again means is, we can naturally start proclaiming sort of the wonders of God's name and the wonders of his actions. So being born again, we start to understand God's nature and God's almighty power. And almost instinctively, we start sharing the good news. I don't know at any point if you've been excited about something, maybe a holiday, maybe a gift that you're about to receive. But, when you're excited about it, you naturally just start talking about it to everybody around you. That's what we can start to experience as we start to understand God's nature and how God works in our lives. And again, we've seen examples of this in the Bible. In the beginning of Acts 2, we've seen that, when the Holy Spirit descended from the heavens, suddenly the Holy Spirit filled the people and they immediately started proclaiming the wonders of God in their own tongues. The people were on fire for the Holy Spirit that day. It can also mean, devotion. Being born again, we live for Christ's recognition and not worldly recognition. Paul spoke about this a number of times in his letters. In Galatians 1:10, he said, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of God." Who better to hear this than from a man who has been persecuted for his belief in God and who was writing, for a lot of these letters from prison, right? We no longer act to please other people. We also kind of don't really act to please Christians. We're mostly acting to please God, who gave us this new life, who allowed us to be born again, to live for him. Being born again can also mean, separation from the world. Sometimes being followers of Christ might make us seem a bit weird to people. Almost as if we're separate in some sense, right? Because following God will seem weird to some people in the world. What does it mean that you follow a God who has a son, but it's also his own son, but it also has a spirit that lives within us? It's kind of weird to some people, right? Sometimes the things that we can do are pretty weird too. We're told that, when somebody offends you or harms you, you're supposed to turn the other cheek and give them another opportunity to harm you. This is a strange thing to many people. The way that God wants us to live will seem strange to a lot of people. And that's okay, because again, we're aiming to live by God's standard and not by the world's standard. And so that will naturally make us seem separate from the world. Being born again can also mean submission, right? Being born again means that we no longer live for our own goals, our own desires and ambitions, but for Christ's. You can kind of think of it as, when you enlist into, let's say you enlisted into an army, you used to work by your own instructions, live by your own instruction, but now you follow the instruction of the general or the commander or the person who's giving you instruction. When we realign ourselves with Christ, we take guidance and direction from him. And again, we've seen examples of this type of submission in the Bible as well, many such examples. But I'll just give Peter as an example. At first he was a fisherman, focused on his own works and his own survival. But then eventually when Jesus called him to follow him, he left everything behind and followed him. It wasn't clean. It wasn't easy. He did struggle at some points. Obviously, we know that he then went on to deny Christ at one point. But Over time, he then eventually came to fully surrender his life to Christ, and then go on to boldly preach the gospel to the people, even when that meant like persecution. That's what true submission looks like. Not just believing in Jesus, but living fully for him. And yeah, like being born again can also mean recognition. Because a lot of things to us as Christians who are born again will just make more sense. Like, remember that story I told earlier about my friend Anthony and how, you know, as I was reading the Word of God more, I started to recognize that his actions were more aligned with God. Like, by studying the Word, I was able to recognize the fruits of God's Spirit in his actions, whereas before, I would have just thought he was just an unusually nice guy. You know, in the same way, you're studying the Word of God more and understanding the nature of God more will help us better identify what is of God and what is not of God. And, you know, the last point that I had down here to speak on is regeneration. So being born again isn't just our beliefs changing, but it's about like being a completely different person. Christ's love transforms us from the inside out, reshaping our heart's desires and purpose. You know, it's kind of like the metaphor for that I have for it is kind of like, imagine like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. You're not just acting differently, you were transformed into a completely different person. You know, your old life of, you know, sin and selfishness passes away, and your new life, driven by Christ's love, has begun. And again, I give Paul again as an example of this kind of fundamental transformation. You know, after his encounter with God in Acts 9, you know, his old ways of persecuting Christians died, and his new life as one of the great apostles in the Bible began. You know, this type of sudden and miraculous transformation may seem strange to the world, but with God, it's possible. And to reiterate, Christ died for all of our sins. You know, not just his disciples, not just his friends and family, but for all people and all sin, right? So we all have access to this transformative power if we choose to deny our old lives. So, you know, what does this all mean for us? You know, we've kind of seen, you know, some examples of what it might mean to be born again. But what should we do with this new life? So just to close, I have a few examples of things that, you know, you might do with this. So firstly, we should, you know, continue to seek guidance from God. You know, in Galatians 5:25 says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." The more we seek his guidance, the more we begin to act like him, as evidenced by, amongst many things, bearing of the fruits of the Spirit. Like, you know, have you ever met somebody that's so kind, so patient, so loving that you think, you know, how are they like this? This must be of God. You know, that's what's possible if we listen to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Secondly, we need to, you know, check ourselves to ensure that we're, you know, still seeking godly approval over worldly approval. You know, in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, Paul says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, all as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." You know, I think this is a simple and effective principle to remember, because if we are continuously working towards God's approval, with his guidance, of course, we'll find that our actions begin to align with his will. And lastly, we should continue to aim to grow the kingdom of God. At the end of that chapter of our main scripture, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, Paul says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.'" Being born again in Christ is not just for our own enjoyment. We should look for opportunities to share God's news, share the good news to everybody, and to grow the kingdom of God. If we're genuinely living a new life in Christ, we should be excited to tell others about him, and we should want others to also experience the transformative power of God.
Thank you, Diamo, for that lovely sermon. So now I'll be calling up our second and final sermonette, Adwin Ashley.
As Pastor Deji likes to say, today is the day what the Lord has made, so we will rejoice and be glad. Amen. Anyways, I just wanted to start on the question what Emma alluded to at the start. What does being born again look like? This is one of the most important questions in our spiritual journey. Being born again isn't just about trying harder, turning over a new leaf, or just trying to change your ways. There's way more to it. Listen, imagine you dropped your phone. It's cracked, chipped, and not functioning. Those of you with an abundance of money will buy a new one straight away, but the majority of us will take it to a repair shop, where a specialist won't just rectify the cracks in the chips, but fix the phone entirely, making it seem almost good as new. It's still the same phone, right? But it's just been completely transformed into something different. In the same way, when we are born again in Christ, God takes our broken, imperfect lives and reshapes them. He doesn't just improve the old, we are made completely new, with a purpose we could have never, ever fathomed. The first thing we need to understand is that being born again means starting over completely in Christ. As 2 Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ becomes a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. What Paul is saying here is that when we come to Christ, we don't just get a makeover, we become a new creation. Let's be honest, many of us have tried to change our lives with our own willpower. Maybe that's by breaking bad habits, getting into new routines, and etc. But you see, this book right here tells us that real transformation comes through Christ Jesus. Take Paul, for instance, once Saul, and a persecutor of Christians. He absolutely hated the name of Jesus. But when he had an encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, his life changed radically. He didn't just improve, he was made new. Maybe some of us here are trying to change ourselves instead of surrendering ourselves to Christ. But Jesus didn't come to make people better, he came to make dead people alive. Jesus explains this real transformation I was alluding to in John chapter 5, verse 24, which reads, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. Did you catch that? Being born again isn't about changing behavior, it's about moving from death to life. The point I keep on reiterating. Before Christ, we were spiritually dead, lost in sin, unable to save ourselves. Maybe some of us still are, myself included. But the moment we put our faith in Jesus, we cross over into a new life. I want to tell you guys a story. Have any of you guys here heard of a man called John Newton? Who can tell me who he was? You're right. Thank you, Felix. He was a slave trader in the 18th century, ruthless, godless, and cruel. But when he encountered Jesus, everything changed. He didn't just feel sorry for his past, he became a new man and later wrote the famous hymn, Amazing Grace. See, the thing is, I would sing it right now, but we don't have enough time for that. So I'll just read out the first verse. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind and now I see. Just in the first few lines, Newton is telling us how his life changed when he came across God. He was once lost, but seeking God enabled him to be found. He was also a wretch, and for those of you who aren't familiar with old-fashioned English, it's referring to an unfortunate or miserable person, and that's what most of our life are like before we find Christ. But God's undeserving grace saved Newton and transformed him. Perhaps some of us are still waiting for our encounter with God. just like the one Newton had. But I want to assure you all that that encounter will happen. It may take time, but it will happen. It may come when you're in a state of joy. It may come when you're in a state of misery. Or maybe, you never know, it's already happened. I want you all to ponder about your life. Have you truly crossed over from death to life? Or are you still carrying the weight of your dead self? Now, here's the lovely part about being born again. When we are born again, we don't have to figure out this new life on our own. God gives us his spirit to guide us. As Romans 8:16 says, "For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." That means when we are born again, the Holy Spirit confirms in our hearts that we belong to God. When we belong to him, we start to live differently. We are set apart from the rest of the world. So, what does that look like? It means we no longer live in fear because we are children of God. It means our desires change. We no longer crave things of the world, but hunger for our Lord's presence. And lastly, we bear the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and self-control, as mentioned in last week's sermon. So, what does it mean to be born again? It means leaving the old life and becoming new in Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 alluded to. It means crossing over from death to life through faith in Jesus, as John 5:24 points out. And it also means being set apart by the Holy Spirit as a child of God, as Romans 8:16 teaches. I want to assure you all that although I'm standing here preaching about being born again, I stand here imperfect. I also struggle to be born again. I want you all to know that it is a process which takes time. And to me, the first step in that process is having a firm belief in Christ. As John chapter 7, verse 38 says, those who believe in him will flow rivers of living waters. The Bible verse is one of my favorites, as it highlights how just a belief in Christ can change you from the inside out. And that's exactly what Dio Moore was trying to point out in his sermon. But I want to add something to this. When you start a new life, you need to make sure God is at the center of it all. Today, I encourage you all to take that step of being born again.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.